We're back in session.
Let me go. Okay.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent myself, Lightning, at this time. One of the concerns I have on this ordinance is that we've had some very knowledgeable speakers who are attorneys representing various groups, and their position is not to move forward on this ordinance. And I agree with them 100%. And where I guess my problem is that you have a city attorney that looks at this ordinance and says, let's move forward on this. We think we can get this pushed through and it won't be deemed unconstitutional. I'm going to tell you right now, the way that Tracy Reeves conducted herself in front of Federal Judge Michael Simon on that PSEP, and saying that it should have been in compliance before they even did a meeting. In my opinion, you might want to get a new attorney. I really am not satisfied with the work she is doing. We have numerous groups in here, very knowledgeable on this, taking a stance and saying, absolutely not. Look at Seattle. Absolutely not. Litigation. Tremendous amount of cost. There is no reason to move forward on this. You have a permitting process. You have certain things in place. This is an overreach. And I fought you on the speech codes in here where you were doing an overreach. It was unconstitutional, and that was, again, proved that in front of Federal Judge Michael Simon. Again, you're moving too fast on this. It's not necessary, and I'm at total agreement on the issue that you think, Mayor, that this is going to benefit the city. This is only going to stop you from being reelected. Every other mayor that's tried to do this in other areas that are overreaching, it's unconstitutional. What happens? The people just don't vote for you when you want to get reelected. You really need to think on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Brian King. I'm a resident of Portland. I've read the ordinance, and I believe it gives too much power to a police bureau that has shown that it doesn't respect residents' rights to protest, and that has allowed violence to escalate through biased law enforcement. Protest violence has been allowed to escalate because of leniency shown by police to Patriot Prayer and associated groups. Police say that they don't have the tools to prevent violence, but Oregon and the federal government have laws to control militias. The Oregon statute against unlawful paramilitary activity prohibits groups from arming and training for civil disorder. When Patriot Prayer comes to Portland in body armor, backed by multiple rifles stationed above a protest site, clearly they are a militia prepared to use firearms for civil disorder. Yet in the case of the rifles, instead of using militia laws to make arrests and prevent violence, police only asked individuals to stow their rifles. In contrast, I've seen police completely shut down nonviolent protests by Portland residents. On September 13th this year, I was in a peaceful march at the South Waterfront against OHSU's use of prison slave labor for laundry services. There was no opposition, there were no weapons, there was only support from the community. Portland police tailed the march after it passed by the ICE building on McAdam and blocked traffic with their patrol cars near the tram. Police were jeered by protesters for blocking traffic. I was about 10 feet away from the officers at this point, and I heard one of the officers say, I'm not in the mood for this today. Shortly after that, officers came up on the sidewalk and arrested a protest leader. When protesters objected, they were pepper sprayed by police, ending the protest. Charges against protesters were dismissed by a judge the next day. In reports, police said that bottles were thrown by protesters. I was there. I saw no bottles thrown. The ending of the protest had nothing to do with violence or the legality of the protest. It was ended using unjustified arrests and pepper spray because of the mood of officers. Portland police do not respect our rights. Since the Portland police do not respect residents' rights to protest and have been unwilling to stop Patriot Prayer-inspired violence, I urge the council to reject this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. I have to stand for this. I can't sit down when we're talking about this. My name is Mimi Gurman, and I've been in Portland since 1995. I've lived in North Portland that whole time. What I've witnessed here, and I'm from Philadelphia. I've lived in New York. I lived in Cambridge. I lived in Israel. And I have never seen police behavior the way that I have seen what happens to us, to the people, that as I have in the years since I first moved here. Peggy was beaten by the cops last year. I could name names over and over again of the police who have beaten people on our streets. None of that, except for Chloe, and thank you for that today, for the questions from constituents, has been addressed. This ordinance, it's total BS. And that's nice of me to not use bad language. I want to face people and tell you I'm Jewish, I'm queer, and when Patriot Prayer and Joey Gibson and all of the rest of the nationalists, the white supremacists, the racists, the homophobics, the anti-Semitics come here and they deal with me and they deal with my sisters and brothers on the street, these people right here do nothing, absolutely nothing, to prevent them from my being hurt, but they hurt us. That needs to be understood by the people in Portland. It's the police who work with the fascist groups that come here that hurt us. It's the police who last summer, not this past August, but the summer before that, in August, shook hands with the Nazis as they escorted them to parking lots to get them out safely, as if anybody was going to get hurt other than all of us who were shot at with tear gas by the police. This is a farce. This is a total farce. These people here are a farce, that they are here to protect us. They are not here to protect us.
Thank you.
These people are not here to protect us.
Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you. Thank you.
The next three are Kalei Lubin, Charles Bridgecrane, and Jackie Yerby. And they'll be followed by John from Portland's Resistance, Edith Gillis, and Beth Woodward.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for holding this hearing. It's long overdue, I think, for all of us to get together. My name is Kalei Lubin. I live in Southwest Portland. I've given my testimony to you by email, and it's about to come to you in print form in case your email box got overloaded. What I'd like to point out to you is, in addition to the email, the mayor has a write-up on a philosophy that's called From Warriors to Guardians. There's a movement in this country to have our police force move from warriors to guardians and stop using military equipment on American citizens. I'll let you read that and think about that. A lot of good people are moving in that direction. And I've also included my research on flashbangs. They're extremely dangerous weapons. I worked on the less lethal work group with the CRC, and we never did investigate these flashbangs because they've come into the city. I don't really know when, and I don't know how they got here, but I do know that they were invented for use in, I think the first time that they were used was to rescue hostages at Entebbe. And what happens with these weapons is they attempt to disorient a terrorist who is armed, and then you shoot that person dead, then you rescue the hostages. I'm sorry, I guess I'm taking longer than I should.
You've got another
I'll just quit.
30 seconds.
Thank you. 30 seconds to go. 30 more.
Oh. Well, I guess that's probably enough of that. You can read more about it. But what I really wanted to say to you, Mayor, is that your ordinance put me very much in mind of a miniature form of martial law. I grew up in Hawaii under martial law. The Japanese came in, they bombed us, and we were put under martial law because we were considered dangerous. That's the tightrope that you're walking on, and I'm very sorry to have you there.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of council. My name is Jackie Yerby. I am the Director of Advocacy and Civic Engagement for the Urban League of Portland, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. Thank you for this opportunity to testify about the protest policy. I had previously reached out to all of you a few weeks ago when the policy was first announced. Commissioner Fish, I really appreciate your staff reaching out to me and having a conversation about the protest policy. Mayor, I was at the vigil a few weeks ago, I guess 2 Sundays ago, it seems like forever ago, and I was deeply moved by your impassioned remarks about hate speech and hate violence. And I'm here today to talk to express some concerns that I have, that the Urban League has about this protest policy. I do have some concerns about the time, place, and manner restrictions, but I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I took con law in college. That was a very long time ago. So I'm going to defer to the wise people at the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild to carry that water. Related to that, though, I do want to say that I wonder how this protest policy would have impacted the civil rights marches, the sit-ins, the protests, if those things would have been allowed, allowed in air quotes, under this protest policy. The people who sat in, who marched, who demonstrated for civil rights helped us to get to where we are today, and unfortunately we're finding that we're still struggling to maintain those rights. I see that my time's coming up. My main concern is about the content, being content neutral. Unfortunately, it feels like good people on both sides. And clearly, there are not good people on both sides. There are white supremacists who are coming to Portland, who are threatening people like me, who are threatening LGBTQI folks. And we need the mayor and the council to take a strong, unequivocal stance that hate is not welcome here and to have that backed by policy. The Urban League would love to work with you, and we've got the Mulugeta Sorau conference coming up on Tuesday where we will have a panel to talk about this. Thank you.
Very good. And I'm going to add one topic to the panel, which is the current form of government in the city of Portland that makes the mayor the actual police commissioner. Because policing has to be content neutral in order to be constitutional. So I just want to put out there, it puts me in a very unique position, even relative to my colleagues, in terms of the things I can do and the things I can say and the actions I can take. And it is unique, I believe, in the United States that I have this dichotomy of circumstances.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon again, Commissioners. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. It's bad, risky policy for you to go down this unwise road. You've even set a terrible, rocky, pothole-strewn foundation in your enabling documents. Here, when we look at this item on the agenda, Auditor's item number 70253, you look at your paperwork that's before you, page 3 of 7 at the bottom, item F. Demonstrators gathered in downtown Portland for a demonstration, counter-demonstration, and unpermitted march. What happened is there was a permit. You were supposed to contain Patriot Prayer inside Waterfront Park, north of the fountain, and you didn't do it. So things went to hell, and your police shot anti-fascists with grenades. That's what really happened. But you don't describe the truth in your own documents. There was no unpermitted march except for the fascists that went down and caused people to be locked down in the Marriott because your incident commanders aren't capable of doing their jobs. The first part of their job would have been to have at least every other officer facing opposite directions. So at least half of the police were facing the armed fascist invaders in the waterfront park. But you, as police commissioner, did not exercise enough due diligence and supervision of the police department to make that happen. Creating another ordinance will not fix anything until you address that basic problem, that the police made crappy choices that cannot be fixed by an ordinance. It's not your fault. It was the individual bad choices of Portland Police Bureau incident commanders to face only at the anti-fascists on the west side of NATO. And completely ignore the prancing racist. Now, not everybody that comes to a Joey Gibson event is a militant, super hardcore white supremacist, but they never, ever speak about the equal dignity of black people and brown people, do they? So your ordinance, I get where you're coming from, but it's not the answer. The answer is to get the police to do fair, actual, neutral behavior while they're policing. And then when the brawls happen, we can't stop testosterone-laden idiot boys from having brawls. The last brawl was right next to the police station.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Are John from Portland's Resistance, Edith Gillis, and Beth Woodward. They'll be followed by Nina Ingram, Sam Resnick, and David Cantor.
Okay, what time are we taking for the amendments? I just want to make a statement. I would rather listen to my constituents than be here when you vote on the amendments, so I'm just going to stay here as long as I can. I have a meeting where I'm going to listen to people in East Portland, which is why I have to leave at 5:30. But given that my colleagues have said that they can stay later, I'd rather listen to you.
5:30, we'll take him up. Thank you. Hi, John.
All right. Hello, City Council. My name is John. I'm a local activist in independent media here in Portland, and I'm here to express my opposition to the ordinance. I have been a victim of police use of force, witnessed unprovoked police violence on others during demonstrations, been assaulted by violent far-right wingers, and seen the same happen to many others. I, too, share your concern about violence in our streets. In an ideal world, there would be none, but that is not the world we live in. When I participated in protests at Occupy's camp, there were several occasions where protesters were attacked by law enforcement with chemical weapons and hospitalized with no treatment from law enforcement, and then they lied to cover up their use of excessive force. We were attacked or had attempted attacks on several occasions from far-right wingers, varying from attacks with biohazardous waste on multiple occasions to assaults to brandishing weapons such as machetes. There have been several community reports of Proud Boys and their associates attacking random citizens, specifically trans folks, and police were not the ones that were contacted, as police have lost much of the community's trust. What options does that leave much of our community? It is often community defense. So to my concern about the ordinance, there is nothing in this ordinance that addresses the following. What specific groups are susceptible to these restrictions of their First Amendment rights? Who influences those decisions? What constitutes violence? How you will enforce these ordinances with the populace where demonstrations commonly occur? What happens if the unnamed groups show up to another demonstration, which was mentioned earlier? How to determine who is a part of these groups and how you enforce those restrictions on autonomous individuals? Much of the time, when the far right shows up in Portland, many groups and individuals counter-demonstrate. Members of these groups, as well as unaffiliated citizens, don't have a sign saying, I'm with this group or I'm not with this group. I know that my cohorts that hide their identities, I'm almost done, from the far right or government suppression will be a target. Then what? Anyone with a mask is subject to hefty fines and jail time simply for not being in an area that police tell them to go. Is the next step to then tell people what they can and cannot wear. I just want to end real quick. We already had a situation tonight. I don't know if you noticed, but a Patriot Prayer attendee was trying to get pictures of activists. That was the scuffle in the back. This is the problem. This is why people wear masks. So,
thank you for your
time. And he says, I'll be respectful and walk out. That is their tactic. They show that they're respectful, and they pull stupid shit on behind the book. Yeah.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hello, my name is Edith Gillis. I was with John, and I saw many of the same things, and I have also been a victim of repeated police brutality and brutality by other fascists. I have also been a witness as a medic, as a protester, as a peacekeeper, and as security. This is an emergency, as you know. The criminal gang of racist, fascist terrorists are threatening, bragging that they're coming to town this Saturday the 17th, and with the intent to commit more violent crimes. And the longer that we're allowing them to continue this, they get more money and they recruit more fascists who do more violence in more severe ways. And it spreads around the country. You're right, it is an emergency, but this ordinance would not solve any of the problems. It would cause problems. It is in violation of the U.S. Constitution, international law, treaties, Oregon Constitution, about free speech, assembly, and equal enforcement and equal services. The commissioner in charge is one person too many, and that's in violation of the Constitution. It's anti-democratic. Does not allow for accountability. One of the reasons why we have protests is because people feel that the civil institutions do not meet the needs and have betrayed the trust, and so they have to go the next level to protect the community. We have to protect the community from the fascism, the violence, by the police, and by the outsiders. I could go through each and every one of these elements. There's just so many examples where you have a double standard. At Pride Parade, there are homophobes who come and are violent, and yet you don't cancel Pride Parade. At almost every event that you Portland's Unite Against Hate, over and over, there's unequal enforcement. It's unfair, and it increases violence the way you have it written.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for being here, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Beth Woodward, and I'm an occasional protester. I don't always decide until the day of a protest whether I'm going, and I usually don't belong to any group, and I think there's a lot of others like me in Portland. Recently, I decided not to protest something I cared about because I was afraid of the police. I had heard about kettling. I did not want to be, I got claustrophobia thinking about being kettled and the violence that can occur when they tell you to get out and you can't get out. Speaking of police, have you ever stood opposite somebody that's dressed like someone in Star Wars? It is intimidating. It's provocative. And I think there'd be a lot less violence at protests if the police did not send so many resources and divert resources. So when you look at the cost of those resources, please keep that in mind. I really wanted to say today that I think the promise of security has always preceded increased power. People give it if they're afraid. And then the power is there to be abused. And that can happen in a city of this size just as it can at the federal level. I expect to go to more protests in the coming months, and I hope it isn't years, but we're living with a president that has put children in prison, has children in prison now, has talked about putting more families in prison, convicted of no crime. I have to protest. And I really appreciated the questions that Commissioner Udaly has raised about this ordinance. My main comment on it, I can't repeat others, there have been lots of great observations, but when I read it, the words time, place, and manner just struck me as very vague. And with that in mind, and there were no specific examples of what that means, I have this little book on tyranny you may have heard of, Lessons from How the Holocaust Happened, basically, during the last century.
Sorry,
by
I'm
Timothy
need
Snyder.
You to wrap it up, unless you have just
one or two more
sentences.
I'm finished. Number one, do not obey in advance. This ordinance requires us to obey in advance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
Are Nina Ingram, Sam Resnick, and David Cantor, and they'll be followed by David Davis, Amy Sitars, and David O'Brien. Nina Ingram, Sam Resnick, David Cantor. You're David? Thank you. All right, let's go ahead with David Davis and Amy Sitars, if they're in the room. David O'Brien, come on up if you're in the room. Tony Haddon. Sam Mendoza.
I don't know.
Yes.
Drew Maloney. S. Pilipatron. Aaron Garcia. A whole page. Annie Rose Shapiro. O'Shea Spencer. Oh, here comes somebody. Thank you. Last I have O'Shea Spencer, Courtney Shannon, Mark Neres, and Brandon Farley.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I want to point to
a dichotomy of narratives between what is said to be the driving motivation behind this ordinance and what.
You need to state your name. Sorry.
David Cantor.
Okay.
What's driving the ordinance versus what it actually achieves. This ordinance is being presented as something to help limit the right-wing extremist violence that's coming into Portland. But when we look into what it actually does and we begin to talk about making space for these groups, we're actually talking about facilitating bringing right-wing extremism into our community. And it's important to consider the results of this legislation you're putting forward. In addition to that, I'd like to also talk about how this is going to play out in the streets. What we're going to see if this goes through is that Patriot Prayer is going to apply for a permit or something. They're going to come to town, and anti-fascists are going to show up to that protest. They're going to disregard any police regulations. You have to stay so such and such far away. They're going to confront the protest because that's just what's going to happen. We have to be honest about that here. And the police are going to use this ordinance as a justification to act violently towards the counter-protesters at that action. We're going to end up with a situation where the police are going to use force against the counter-protesters. The counter-protesters are going to sue the city, and this is going to get brought in front of the court. I'm sure the ACLU and the NLG are going to bring up the questions that they've already brought up about the constitutionality of this ordinance. And I think that all it serves to achieve is facilitating greater right-wing activity in our city. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Okay. So my name is David Keith Davis with Multnomah County Cop Watch. I'd first like to offer Ted Wheeler a gift. I know you can't accept gifts usually, but as Supreme Shitlord of Portland, Supreme Commander, dual position tyrant of the Portland Police Commissioner and / Mayor, I want to let you know that this is a total segregationalist policy, and you guys are all voting for a segregationalist policy that restricts people based on political affiliation, and it's totally unconstitutional. I've been telling the police this for years, that you can't separate groups based on political ideology any more than you can on race, gender, sexuality, or any other stuff. So this is a total failure, and for you to even think that you can push this crap through, you know, makes you the supreme shitlord of Portland. You want this? Want this, Ted? You can drop it off at your front door. But, yeah, you're obviously overstepping your bounds. This is going to be struck down. Don't be surprised if a class action lawsuit comes down from members of the left, the right, and also people like me from Cop Watch that are just filming these events and that have got segregated and told that I can't go on this side, that side, when I'm going back and forth filming as a journalist. So you guys are restricting journalists, cop watchers, and you're basically telling people that they need to choose sides. Well, there's actually a bunch of different crossbreeds of different political affiliations on both sides. So you can't, like, so if you're going to segregate it by two different groups, you should actually say, well, this is a communist, a socialist, these are anarchists.
Thank you.
These are patriots. This is a libertarian.
Thank you.
This is
your time is up. Thank you.
This is actual a real Nazi.
Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you for being here.
Get your fucking hands off me.
Yeah, time is up.
My bag. Now get the fuck out of my way, punk.
We'll take a brief recess.
You're not fucking the Supreme Shitlord Ted is.
We're in a recess.
Yeah, why don't you eat my shit and die? Okay?
Charlie, can we be a little faster on the drive?
I got my camera, I have PTSD, and you're fucking triggering the fuck out of me. Why don't you get the fuck out of my face? Damn fucking punk ass bitch.
All right, we're back in session. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Annie Rose Shapiro. I'm a realtor, a housing advocate, a homeowner, a longtime Portland resident, and a Jew. It's been a hard couple of weeks. This proposal undermines all those who speak out against the hate of rising white nationalism. It puts more power in the hands of the wrong people, the Portland Police Force. The Portland Police Force has not only sheltered but commended Captain Mark Krueger, an open neo-Nazi. His subsequent promotion could not have been possible without police who share his values. The Portland police force commits violence against Black, trans, people of color, immigrant, and houseless community members. It comes to the aid of white nationalist groups. Portland is indeed a brand and a tourist destination. White nationalists like the Proud Boys flock here. And if you will, allow me to read a little bit from an article from a nice little rag. It's called The Daily Stormer. Portland Nazi wins big. Daily Stormer, August 9th, 2014. Hail Captain Kruger. Thank God for small victories. Honestly, though, this victory isn't particularly small. Here's a nice little quote from the Portland Intelligence Server context. You know, they expunged his record, gives him a cool $5,000 of taxpayer cash, and adds a letter of commendation to his file. And there's more, but another quote from the Portland Intelligence Server, then they close. National socialism is eternally cool, forever. No Jew can cancel this fact. I'd like to work on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
I say that is some good branding we have for the city of Portland. And, you know, there's a reason that white nationalists flock here. And guarding a synagogue one day and eating patriot prayer the next day does not keep people of color safe, does not keep queers safe, it does not keep anyone targeted by hate groups safe. And it sure as heck doesn't keep Jews safe. If I could have a little bit longer, I'd appreciate it.
No, we're trying to keep it on track.
Okay,
so everybody
well,
can have
I'll just finish here and say
it's fine. Thank you.
Next three are O'Shea Spencer, Courtney Shannon, and Mark Neris, and Brendan Farley. Any of those people in the room? And if you signed up and didn't hear your name called, I think a lot have left. Thank you.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mark Neris, expressing opposition to the ordinance. I'm a Democratic precinct committee person for House District 2736 and have been a regular attendee at street demonstrations since 2011 when I moved to this city. I'd like to share some of my experiences and observations. Anti-fascists in the city have shown the moral clarity to fight fascist, racist, and hateful ideologies that endanger our communities on the street and at the recruitment level at great personal risk to themselves. I have observed a consistent pattern where police from the Portland Police Bureau come down with extreme prejudice against anti-fascist demonstrators. This reality on the street is not lost in far-right demonstrators who flaunt Blue Lives Matter regalia and flags alongside white nationalist banners. There has been a lot of talk from the Portland police about safety and preventing violence, but little acknowledgement about the violence their heavily weaponized forces have deployed against demonstrators, almost exclusively on the left. I have been in crowds shot at with flashbangs and other crowd control weapons by Portland police on no less than three occasions. I myself was struck with the flashbang on May 1st, 2015 that burned through three layers of clothing and seared a permanent scar into my right arm. We know on August 4th of this year, at least three people were sent to the hospital as a direct result of the flashbangs deployed indiscriminately into a crowd of leftist demonstrators. I was present in that crowd. What I witnessed was an escalation of police force greater than anything I've seen post-Occupy. One friend experienced severe chemical burns, and another individual suffered a brain hemorrhage. The sad reality is that the Portland police is acting as the armed wing for a far right to inflict injury against their political opponents. How am I on time?
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect.
Okay. That was
you.
Probably the best of the day in terms of timing. Thank you. Good
Hi,
evening.
My name is Courtney Shannon. You guys don't know me real well, but I know you. I have been a victim of your police force while sitting in the park minding my own business with a demonstration in front of City Hall. Okay? Two blocks away, and I got hit with nerve gas. I've got too many health issues to run from you. I can't run from you. I'm not strong enough to run from you.
We can't we can't hear you if you're not speaking to the mic.
I am disabled. Okay, I've got leg braces on both legs. Okay, I can't run from her. I can't run from her lackeys that she employs, that you employ, actually. You are the in charge of the police, are you not?
The responsibility starts with me, absolutely. The buck's with me.
So I encourage you to get out from under your desk and come out sometime and hang out in a park while people are out here trying to express their opinions. I'd like to know why it is that money is being wasted on things like this and by useless ordinances when people are out on the streets dying on the sidewalks that are houseless. You sat here and you watched this woman cry in this very chair yesterday and did not know what to do with her. I applaud you for going out in the hallway and talking to her. But you gave the task away to someone else who wasn't equipped.
No, that's actually, you can stop the clock for just a moment. That's not at all what happened. We took her up to our office, and she was there for a good chunk of the day by her own choice, and we connected her with professionals who could actually help her from Central City Concern and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know. Now you may start the clock again.
That's not what my understanding from her. And I did talk to her, and I do plan on following up with her again about it.
I encourage you to do that.
In the country where some genius crunched the numbers, okay, of all the houseless people nationwide, you can house each and every houseless person 28 times each. My friends are literally dying on the sidewalk right now, and you're holding a meeting about this? Why aren't you holding special meetings? Why aren't you rezoning land?
Thank you.
Why aren't you taking care of the things that you need to take care of?
Thank you. Your time is up.
Instead of enforcing bullies.
We're doing all of the above. Thank you very much. All right. That concludes our public testimony for today. That concludes our public. Are you on the list? Okay. Please, go ahead. 2 minutes. Name for the record, please.
All right, my name is Brandon Farley, at Farley Films, Twitter.
Do you have testimony, sir?
This is my testimony. I'd like to waive the rest of my time, please.
Thank you. All right. That concludes our public testimony for this evening. Thank you very much. So we are not voting on the overall substitute ordinance. I want to make that very clear, but we will be taking up Commissioner Fish's amendments. And I think we heard some testimony on those amendments. We'll take them in turn. The first item is Fish Amendment 1, and that was pertaining to within 30 days after each demonstration for which the commissioner in charge has issued written orders pursuant to the ordinance, the commissioner in charge shall provide a written report to council, and he's added, and the public, describing whether the regulations were effective and the lessons that might be learned for future written orders. Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll, Carla.
Udaly.
I'm going to vote aye on this amendment, but I want to make it clear that I will not be supporting the overall item. I am concerned that it could pass, and I see some marginal benefit from these amendments in that event. Aye.
Fritz.
This stuff not only makes it better. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I support it, and the reason I support it is, as I said at the very beginning of this process, what makes this particular strategy unique, it is preventative, and I heard lots of different comments, pro and con, with regard to that, but because it requires written orders in advance, and those orders have to be consistent with the ordinance. And because there is the opportunity for people to oppose those orders and even seek an injunction to those orders in advance, it is perhaps the most uniquely transparent aspect of policing should it actually pass. So I vote aye, the amendment is adopted. Fish Amendment 2 amends Directive 1 on page 7 as follows. 1. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect through June 30th, 2019, after which the ordinance shall expire unless renewed by the council. Is there any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll, Carla.
Udaly.
Again, I will be voting no, but I will vote aye on this amendment.
Fritz.
I'm concerned about the amendment, but again, it makes it somewhat better. I would go with what Representative Bynum suggested, which was a much shorter, maybe 3 months, but that's not the amendment on the table, so this makes it better. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Fish Amendment 3 adds Directive M on page 7 as follows, to allow the council to consider additional tools to address the concerns of demonstrations identified in this ordinance. The Office of the City Attorney is directed to report to council no later than January 10, 2019, with an evaluation of additional legal options, including under the Oregon Constitution, Article 1, Section 27, the military shall be kept in strict subordination to these civil powers, ORS 166.660, unlawful paramilitary activity, ORS 221.1905, nuisance defined by city ordinance, and any other identified options. I have one question, and it's of Robert, legal counsel, and it's just a quick question. I support the amendment. I support the intent of the amendment. I just want to make sure January 10th is a time frame that is a realistic time frame.
Robert Taylor, Chief Deputy City Attorney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, very good. Please call the roll.
I like that answer.
Udaly.
I believe this is our final vote before moving this to second reading and adjourning.
Correct.
Okay. So I just would like to thank everyone for coming today. I want to thank the ACLU and Urban League in particular for working with us over the last couple weeks since this ordinance came to our attention. I want to quote my friend Eric Ward of Western State Center. This is a political problem more than a police problem, and I want to emphasize that we need our local advocacy organizations and nonprofits to step up. We need a concerted community effort to shut right-wing extremists down. We need our colleagues at every level of government to speak out against hate in general, but specifically the hate groups who are targeting our city. And we need the media to stop shining a distorted spotlight on these protests and start helping the public to better understand the issues and the possible solutions. Again, I will not be voting yes on this ordinance next week. I will support this amendment. I look forward to talking with and working with all of you for a better solution moving forward. Aye.
Fritz?
I particularly support this amendment. I think we should be doing it instead of the actual proposal on the table. But this will create some more conversation. I would encourage the City Attorney's Office to work with the ACLU and other entities to have the evaluation done. Again, I thank everybody who was here today and all the testimony we've received ahead of time. I apologize to those community members who weren't able to stay and testify because of the amount of time the presentation and the conversation that council took. And thank you to Commissioner Fish for proposing these amendments. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for having this discussion and being willing to have a panel against a panel for, and really nobody could say this was not a robust discussion.
Agreed.
Google tells me I can get to East Portland in time, but I'm leaving right now. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, I want to thank my colleagues. This one is not on them. This is a very difficult issue. I knew it would be controversial from the get-go. I am almost positive that my colleagues would rather not have been subjected to this, and so I thank them for it. The reality is protecting the public interest and the public safety ultimately is the responsibility of two individuals, chief outlaw who has been here the entire night. She just had to get up and leave because she has another appointment, but she has sat here and heard all of the testimony, and myself as the elected mayor and police commissioner. And I have watched with increasing dismay what's unfolding on our streets, and I share the concerns that seem to be a consensus concern in this room, whether people like the ordinance or don't like the ordinance. There seem to be a consensus concern about violence in our community, and I want to be clear, this, as I said right up front, this is not a panacea. I do not see it as a panacea. This is one of many tools that we have at our disposal, along with enforcement tools, along with education and information, and along with setting clear expectations and all the other things we do around directives and public engagement and our various oversight committees. So I just want to be very clear about that. I heard a lot of testimony tonight. And
I'm sorry, I have to go. But I
thank you, Commissioner Fish. I heard a lot of testimony tonight specific to the desire for police reforms, concerns about police accountability, concerns about the history of the police bureau and ways that that history might bleed into today. The chief and I are aware of these things, and the chief and I have committed to working together as relative newcomers to the city of Portland's leadership to go through these and work with the community and address these concerns. I know we are both committed, yet a lot of what I heard suggested to me, people are saying, until you fix those things, we do not want this ordinance. It's very similar to what I heard during the budget process when we asked for additional tools and resources and personnel for the police bureau, where people said, not until you fix these things. And what I want you to know is that the men and the women in the Portland Police Bureau work hard day in and day out to try and protect the safety of the public. It is a very difficult job. And these issues related to making sure that large demonstrations are safe are particularly complex situations. They are very difficult to manage. And I see this as just being one more tool to help us do it effectively. And I'll finish with this. Chief Outlaw said something that I thought was very important, and people can agree with her or disagree with her. I tend to agree with her because she spent, you know, 2+ decades being an officer. She believes that this actually would reduce the number of arrests because it would clarify in advance the expectations. And I've heard other officers say that the hardest situation for the police to manage is moving large groups of people who have already occupied a space. This in advance would set the expectations. So I just wanted, you know, those were just a couple of things that came to mind. I really appreciated the testimony tonight. It was very thoughtful, very heartfelt, well-researched. And I agree with my colleague who said this was really, it was a good discussion. It was a very thorough vetting, and I appreciate your all participating. To Commissioner Fish's amendment, I'm very interested in this strategy. As many of you know, this is a strategy that was employed after Charlottesville, and that was certainly on my mind as mayor, and it's certainly, I think, on the minds of people who want to safely exercise their First Amendment rights on the street. I have heard varying legal opinions as to whether or not statute and constitutionality in Oregon is necessarily germane to the same kinds of circumstances they had in Charlottesville and the same constitutionality and statutes they have in Charlottesville. But I'm with all of you. Let's try. I mean, let's see where we can go with it. Let's evaluate it. So with that, I support the amendment. I vote aye. There being no further business, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. The substitute, as amended, moves to second reading. Legal counsel, before I gavel, is there anything else I need to do? Yes, sir. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
For your next remarks.